You're now tuned in to The Investor Show, where we teach simple wealth creation for the common investors with investment advisor, award-winning author, international speaker, and founder of Royal Financial Investment Group, Prince Dykes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned in live to The Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes. I'm coming to you guys and girls live with a great show today. For the people that catch the playback, they catch a podcast or whatnot, hope you enjoy the show. But today's show is a very special show because we're going to talk about another aspect of the investing world, which is real estate. A lot of people wanted to know about the world of real estate. They wanted to know what was going on with real estate. Is the real estate market a good market to get into? We're seeing the fund rate has gone to zero. What does that mean for mortgages? What does that mean for the real estate world? Is real estate next? You know, we've seen everybody get locked down. It's the housing market next. Some people are looking to buy a house. Some people already have a house. A whole other sector to talk about. So this is why we're doing the show today. And this is why I want to bring everybody in. But we got a very, very special guest today. We have the Forbes Real Estate Investment Trust Advisor, and he's the author of The Trump Effect, Mr. Brad Thomas. He stops by to talk about real estate investment trust. Mr. Thomas has been actively involved in commercial real estate for more than 25 years and has purchased and arranged financing for close to $1 billion of investments across multiple properties in the real estate sector. So we got a very, very special treat today. So I decided to bring him in live today. I reached out to him yesterday. And I said, hey, can you come on tomorrow? I know people out there have been asking and wanting to know about real estate. So we're going to go ahead and get his take. Without further ado, let me bring in my guest, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brad Thomas. How is going on there, Mr. Brad Thomas? You doing all right? One second there.
You're looking like you've been to the gym.
A little bit. I got a lot of open time now, you know. We're definitely glad to have you back. As people are kept coming in live, you can comment till Mr. Thomas where you're from. But first of all, I know I kind of gave you a little introduction there, but tell people about who you are, and for people who haven't heard of you or maybe haven't seen you yet and want to follow you, let's go ahead and tell people. First, start off with telling people about yourself.
Great. Well, thanks for good to see you again. Thanks for letting me be back on here. So I am. I live in South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. I've been in real estate now for closer to 30 years. So I'm getting on there in age. Really for the last 10 years, I've really been more in the research, real estate research business, where we really cover and research about 200 different publicly traded real estate companies, otherwise called known as real estate investment trusts. You can find any of that on my two websites. The easy one to use is my personal site, bradtom.com, or my business site, which is ireitinvestor.com.
Got it. Okay. Now, Brad, we know you have a huge following with your newsletter, The Intelligent REIT Investor. I know you wrote that book. You got plenty of books out about real estate. Well versed into the real estate industry, this is why I reached out to you about this topic. So, as people have noticed, starting about beginning of the month, we've seen the Fed fund got cut, you know, all the way down to 1%, part of the stimulus package, and then they did an emergency cut on March 16th to about 0.25, right? And the question everybody's asking is, okay, what's going on with the real estate industry? We know stocks are in a bad spot. They're doing it to stimulate the government. You know, the first thing is, should I refinance my mortgage?
Yep. Well, certainly we've got the some of the lowest cost of capital that we've seen in our lifetime. And it's been a very attractive environment, not only to purchase real estate, but any business as well that that requires debt. And so certainly today is I think, a great time to purchase single family housing or even rental properties. The market is really, really strong. Now, what we're seeing today, Prince, obviously, is just a whole new paradigm. I mean, I've lived through multiple recessions and economic downturns. Two of those that come to mind for me that you know are top of my mind are certainly 2008, 2009, which was the Great Recession. And then before that, we had the events of 9/11. And when I think about what we're seeing today with the coronavirus, it's really unlike any of those events. It's almost like I feel a little bit of this 9/11 anxiety and fear that, you know, I felt in 9/11 that was just rapid and, you know, came out of nowhere. And then I feel a little bit of this financial chaos that we're seeing right now, which is more like the 2008 and 2009. The big difference, of course, with the Great Recession is we knew that, you know, there was some signal that this was going to be, you know, coming. And we had really no way to prepare for this. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you know, we all had our schedules. I was going to be attending two conferences in Las Vegas in May, the Money Show, which I go to every year, as well as this Recon, which is like the Super Bowl for retail. And both of those events have been canceled now in Las Vegas. And so obviously we're doing this from home and a lot of you are home here, but it's been really surreal to me to see, you know, what's transpired here over the last week or so. And, you know, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I cover publicly traded companies called REITs, real estate investment trusts. I wrote a book in 2016. I was actually co-authored a book in 2016 called The Intelligent REIT Investor. You can find that on Amazon. And I'm writing a second edition of that right now. And the book is really all about how to invest in individual real estate stocks. And I think there's a great opportunity today, Prince, for your readers and viewers to really take a look at, if they don't know what a real estate investment trust is, now is probably a good time because you're seeing some really bargain prices that I've never seen before. And you can invest that capital across a number of property sectors, practically every property sector that's imaginable, single family rentals, apartments, shopping centers, malls, data centers. There's even two companies that invest in prisons if you want to invest in a prison, which is a debatable subject about profiting from incarceration. But those businesses are certainly available for investors. And so that's really what we do and our company does is we analyze and screen for some of the best companies to buy in this current market.
Okay. Before we go a little bit further, we have Diego here from Argentina. And we have Ms. Beverly here from St. Louis. She's saying hello from St. Louis. So now you just mentioned about real estate investment trust. You said it's a great opportunity to get into real estate. What do you think with all these crying times? I think the market has some more downturn to do once we start to, we have somebody coming in from Kevin, coming in from DC. What's going on there, Kevin? So the question is, now that we see the market is going through troubling times, what do you think the future for real estate? Is it a good time right now or should we wait? Do we have further dropping to do? What do you have to say to that person that is saying, hey, I have a little capital. I know it's a great time to buy, but should I go now?
Sure. Well, in this type of market, whether it's real estate or any cash that you have available for investing, I think you have to be very defensive and you should always be defensive. I know our mutual mentor, Warren Buffett, would say the same thing. You've got to be a really defensive investor today. You should also have to understand your circle of competence and understand what you're investing and just don't go throw money at a stock or in a certain sector unless you really have an understanding of that business model, that circle of competence. So I think that's really important. Now today, again, real estate, you're seeing some tremendous opportunity. But we're not going to go head first into a number of the sectors, property sectors, that really are going to be a lot more volatile. And so a couple of those three that we're really concerned with that have the highest risk would be certainly the lodging sector today, the gaming sector today, as well as possibly the billboard sector, and then finally the retail sector. So, and you can imagine, I mean, in this world now of this new paradigm of social distancing, there are just people aren't going out to any of those properties. I mean, the hotels, the travel and tourism industry has just come to a complete halt around the world. And so we cover about 16 lodging REITs, which is hotel REITs. And most all of those companies have either suspended their dividends and pulled their 2020 guidance back. So lodging, I mean, we just don't know when that's going to get back. So we definitely are avoiding that sector. Gaming, nobody's going to the casinos right now. And then retail is very an interesting sector. I mean, we cover the shopping center space as well as the mall space. And many of these major mall companies have now decided to close their malls for a short period of time. And so nobody knows how long this is going to last. How long are we going to be living in this social distancing world? Nobody knows. So we've been more defensive. And I think to deploy capital today, again, these shares have been beaten down pretty hard. So there's a significant margin of safety we see in publicly traded real estate. But we like to be a little more defensive and investing in those companies that are more reliable and have really more durable revenue streams coming in. So, you know, I like sectors like industrial. I mean, we still are going to need the logistics, the warehouses. Those are good companies to invest in, as well as some of the net lease REIT properties that invest in long-term contractual leases to companies like Walgreens and CVS and FedEx, among others. So I think there's some really good opportunities. I mean, you can buy some of these stocks today at 50, 60 cents on the dollar, but I wouldn't jump into some of those higher risk categories or sectors that I just mentioned before.
Okay. So before we get into it, we have Kevin saying he's here from Columbus, Ohio. We have Jay here from Nashville. And we have, I can't pronounce that screen name, but they're from Greenwood, South Carolina. Ms. Buttercup says, hello, how you doing? And so we have one question here. It says, what's a good starting point with a rental real estate? Is it $30,000 up? What would you have to say versus buying a REIT, a real estate investment trust, versus going out and getting a real estate rental property?
Well, the first thing you always ask people, you got to be ready. If you're there's a term we use called the three T's. And what you got to be ready for, if you're going to invest in a rental house, you have to have really be ready to take over the responsibility of these three T's. And that is the you're going to have to be dealing with the toilets, the trash, and the taxes. And remember the three T's. So, you know, $30,000, you could invest in a rental house that would produce rental income of what, $3,000 to $4,000 per year, using a 10% multiple. Or you could invest that $30,000, and if you do that, you're going to have to be dealing with those three T's: the toilets, the trash, and taxes. So, in other words, maintenance and taxes and insurance. Those are all part of those responsibilities that you have as being a landlord. Alternatively, you could go invest that money into a publicly traded REIT, and I would advise investing more than one to properly diversify your portfolio. But you could take that $30,000, invest it into the stock market, essentially, which means it's highly liquid. You can get your money out at any time. If you invest in that rental house, you're not going to be able to get the money out. Once you put it in, it's in, and until you sell it, it's going to be sitting there. There's not as much liquidity. So again, you could take that $30,000 of capital, put it into, say, four or five different REITs that are going to produce pretty attractive dividend income. In this environment, very attractive, because REITs have sold off substantially given this coronavirus, that the dividend yields are much, much higher today. So on average, let's just say you're getting 5% to 6% of dividend income, but you don't have to deal with those three T's. So you really have to decide, do you have the time to invest in, to be an investor and be an active investor, or would you prefer to be a shareholder in a company? And in addition to the liquidity argument that I mentioned earlier, you also have a transparency element, because when you invest in a public company, you have SEC guidance that basically insists that these companies have to provide their investors with complete transparency. So liquidity, transparency, and also management. You have a company that is managing these properties. You don't have to manage them. So it is a trade-off. And again, it depends on every investor's risk profile. I've owned a lot of rental houses and a lot of private property. I was a developer, owned shopping centers and a number of industrial properties in the past. And if you're in that business and understand that business and you want to deal with the three T's, that's fine. But again, the other alternative is publicly traded real estate investment trusts, which are much more attractive. I did want to say one other thing, going back to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has invested in several different REITs, publicly traded real estate companies, or actually, I should say Berkshire Hathaway has invested in a couple of companies. They are currently an investor in a company called Store Capital. Their ticker symbol is STOR, which basically is a really good buy at this point, given the pullback we've seen lately. And then he's also an investor, or the company is an investor in a company called Seritage, which is a spinoff of the Sears portfolio real estate. So they own a lot of mall properties around the world.
Okay. Now, with that, if I had $30,000 and I went out and got a personal rental property versus I got a REIT, which one would probably draw me the most, you know, once everything's said and done? You know, I know you've done both. You've done the REIT side of the house and you purchased, you had your own rental properties. You say you don't want to deal with the three T's, but which one would probably get me, you know, create that income that I'm looking for? Or more, well, in most cases.
Yeah, so it's interesting. In terms of performance, I mean, believe it or not, real estate investment trusts have actually outperformed the private sector over long periods of time. Now, not every year. Some year, the private market will outperform the public market. But I do have historical evidence to validate the fact that publicly traded REITs do outperform private real estate. Now, the one thing that, you know, Donald Trump used to always say when he was a developer is, you make money when you buy. And you could say the same thing in the stock market. It's all about that margin of safety that Warren Buffett's mentor, Benjamin Graham, spoke highly about in his book, The Intelligent Investor, is to invest with a margin of safety. And that is the buffer that you select, whether it's a security or piece of real estate. You want to buy it as low as possible. That would provide you with the most potential profit going forward. So you really have to be a good investor and understand, you know, what you're buying and make sure that you're purchasing that property at a really good price. I mean, so if I was buying a $30,000 piece of property today, a rental property, I would definitely make sure that I'm getting a very good deal and that I will be able to make some profit going forward. So every property or every deal has to really, you know, be evaluated on its own merits. And so it's hard to say. I honestly think that even though I'm very bullish in the REIT space, I think it makes sense for investors to diversify and have that both the elements of rental property and public stocks. I think it's important to have both because you need that diversity. There are going to be markets where we saw in 2009 where there was very little liquidity in the public space, and that's when some of the private, you know, real estate performed better. But I will say again, with my, you know, 30 years of experience. Going back, I mean, I think for most investors, owning shares in REITs makes a lot more sense than owning private real estate for those reasons. And again, having that liquidity really is important. I mean, I've got five kids, and fortunately, two of them are out of the house now. But, you know, there's always things that come up. You need braces. You need. I'm putting my son's basketball goal together today, by the way. Anyway, used to play basketball, Prince, back in the day.
Okay, but, got a little skills up, Brad.
I would say that. I mean, I definitely, I'll send you some pictures. You know, I don't know if I can jump as high as I used to, though. I might can touch the net now. Okay. But I mean, again, it really boils down to the investor's profile, and for younger investors, I really think, you know, owning REITs makes a lot more sense, and you can really invest in any sector today, and it really is a great business. I mean, it's a $2 trillion industry, so think of it like that. That's how much liquidity is in the market.
Okay, so Jaybone is there from Alabama. Indigo says he's okay. How you doing there, Indu from San Diego? All right. So Kevin, he has a question here. He said, you mentioned the industrial sector, which includes BA. I'm thinking he's talking about Boeing. I think that's a stock somewhere there. They decreased over 300% in the past month. Do you think they have a chance? Do they have a chance in survival as a company?
Yeah, I mean, I think Boeing does. I think this whole airline industry is really just, you know, it's on its head right now. And I think you're going to see the stimulus package now going forward. And they're going to obviously dedicate that capital to the airline industry first. That is a critical part of this infrastructure for the world. So I think, you know, It's look, we're in an environment like no other. I think eventually these airlines are going to be fine. I like Boeing a lot. They have a very large manufacturing facility here in my home state of South Carolina. You know, it's a good operation, but it's just a lot of these stocks have been beaten down. That's why I prefer the real estate, because a lot of the time you invest in these industrial buildings. These are logistics facilities that rent to companies like Amazon and FedEx, and they're very resilient. They're really e-commerce engines of the world. And I think owning that real estate is really a great way to go, because, you know, really at the end of the day, what you're getting as a landlord is a rent check, and you're taking that rent check and you're either dishing out a dividend to investor, or you're paying yourself if you own in the private side. And it really boils down to the dependability of the dividend stream. But again, you're owning that underlying real estate. So I would much rather own, you know, either public or private real estate today, especially if you're depending on, you know, that income for performance. But I like the industrial sector. Some of those names like Boeing has certainly been beaten up extremely hard. Again, and that's another reason to maintain diversification. When you have a stock that is going to, you know, generate, you know, heavy volatility like Boeing, you certainly want to have that diversification in your portfolio.
Okay. All right. Oh, we got Brandon Harrington from Japan. What's going on, Brandon from Japan? He's tuning in. Great information. All right. Now, Kevin had the question. What is, you mentioned earlier, Stort, STORA. He said, why is Stort a good buy? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. Well, great. That's a good question. So Stort is, the company invests in freestanding properties meaning companies that are leased to like fast food restaurants or, you know, Walgreens, CVS, FedEx, and the like. Stort, again, Warren Buffett owns, I believe the initial investment was between $300 and $400 million for their initial round, which was a couple years ago. And so what I like about Stort is most of those leases are long-term contractual leases. So even though we're experiencing this volatility and a lot of people aren't going to, you know, going out today to utilize some of these properties, the rent income still comes in, and that provides a very safe dividend for investors. I haven't looked at the share price today, but certainly the shares have been beaten down really hard. So you have that significant set margin of safety that exists today. And I think, you know, Stort is definitely a strong buy at this point, given the market conditions.
Okay. And I kind of want you to hint to people, because this is something that I learned, especially, you know, following you and learning about REITs, is that, you know, once we see a McDonald's or CVS or a McDonald's or a CVS or a Burger King or whatnot, can you explain to us how, because, you know, I assume that McDonald's went in, purchased the place, owned the place, or whatever the case may be, and maybe the franchise owner pays the lease. But you were explaining to me that in certain sectors that actually someone may buy the business and then turn around and lease it out to McDonald's. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it really comes down to, you know, you've got to understand your cost of capital. And, you know, I was a Papa John's franchisee many years ago. I had 8 stores in the Carolinas.
You own 8 Papa John's?
Yeah.
So you never said, I didn't see that in your bio, Brad. So how did you like that?
It wasn't Papa John's fault, but it's, you know, it's a tough, restaurants are tough businesses. And those particular locations were in smaller markets. You know, I wasn't investing in those businesses. I've actually said this before. I mean, it's really comes down to, you've got to know what you're investing in. And, you know, I was a developer at the time. The first store I opened, I actually had an occupancy in one of my shopping centers. And that's how I got into the business, because I decided I was going to be, a restaurateur, and I opened a store, and that led to a couple more stores. And before you know it, I mean, I'm in the business, and didn't really mean to be. But it really comes down to cost of capital. So a lot of companies that are, you know, mid-sized companies, even larger companies, it really makes no sense for them to own the real estate. Even companies like Target, for example, and Walmart, they lease a lot of these properties. And when you, when, basically, those are heavy assets on the balance sheet. It's a lot better for those companies that have real estate to sell those properties, lease them back, and they can generate much higher returns on their equity than they could owning the real estate. So if you look at the simple math of this, Prince, it would be, let's say you and I own, you know, 10 Burger Kings, but we want to build, you know, 10 more. And we've got these 10 Burger Kings sitting there, and they're, say the real estate's worth $1 million each. Okay, so we could take that $10 million, sell the real estate to a REIT. We would get $10 million. Now, we may have some debt. So let's say we got $5 million of debt, but we can take that $5 million and use that to expand our business, which is going to generate much higher returns than, say, the 6% cap rate or return that we're getting for that. So we could, it really comes down to being able to manage that capital. So that's why a lot of companies, you know, prefer to lease, because they can generate much higher returns by on their business operations. Typically it's double digit, you know, 10, 11, 12% or higher returns on the capital than they could in owning real estate. So real estate is not really, a lot of companies really shouldn't own real estate when they are engaged in other businesses that are more profitable.
Okay. All right. Good explanation there. Okay, she said that Stort is $18.58 a share right now. Okay. Ms. Amber Means said, good afternoon from Philadelphia. I'm hoping everyone is staying calm and safe. And, okay, Modern Real Estate is saying, I've been monitoring the real estate market here in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I didn't see any changes. When do you think we will see some changes?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the changes are really right before us. I mean, you know, the movie theaters, AMC theaters, a good example. I mean, you know, there's nobody going to the theaters right now. A lot of the experiential real estate is just, you know, restaurants have closed now. I don't know, we haven't gone nationwide, but many, many places now are closing down operations to limit social interaction. And I think those are the hardest hit sectors. One of the bigger mall REITs, Simon Property Groups, Simon Properties, I should say, they just announced a day or two ago that they're closing down all of their malls by the end of this weekend, and many of the other mall REITs are going to follow. So I think you're going to see, at least over the next couple of weeks, malls begin to shut down. Now, there's a silver lining here. I did find out yesterday that China, one of the mall REITs here in the U.S. called Taubman, they did indicate that their China malls are now open, and it was about a 45-day period where they were closed. So hopefully, let's hope that the U.S. will follow that path of China, and maybe not as much of Italy. But that's really what we're all doing. That's what this social distancing is all about here. I mean, nobody knows the timing of this. But I think those sectors that have more exposure to restaurants, to gaming, to lodging, again, all of these, you know, experiential pieces, they're gonna suffer more. And so I think that's where you've got to be really careful in terms of not jumping into investing right now in any of those sectors. But again, I think because of that irrational behavior we've seen in the stock market, I think there's some really terrific opportunities to deploy capital today. And some of those names I've mentioned to you, like Store Capital, is certainly a great idea.
Now, the question, what you were saying that some people will. Some industries would experience more hardship than others. Like you said, the restaurant industry, the movie industry, things like that. Do you see this as a possible, wow, this might actually be a good time for me to go buy or something like that?
Sure. Good question. I mean, it really comes down to...
And one thing Modern Real Estate said, thank you very much.
Oh, great. Anytime. It really comes down to... the balance sheet of those companies. Because one thing we spend a lot of time with is breaking down, you know, these companies. So company, you got to ask yourself, like AMC Theaters. I mean, do you think that company is going to go bankrupt? And that's a big question. I mean, if you're going to invest in theaters, you better know whether they're going to go bankrupt. Because if you and I own a theater, let's say you and I own a theater and we lease that to AMC. Well, if AMC files bankruptcy and they cease to give us a rent check, then I don't think you and I want to be owning that movie theater together, because, you know, I'm not ready to start up a church, and that's about the only thing you can kind of put. And theaters aren't generic buildings that you can actually go in and put another tenant in there. And so you got to question. Another example is like Topgolf. There's a company called EPR, and they've invested very heavily in Topgolf. And I like Topgolf. It's a lot of fun, but guess what? Nobody's going to Topgolf today. And so if you and I own a Topgolf and they go out of business, then what are we going to do? We've got this big building with all these golf balls, and I guess what are we going to do with that? So you've got to ask yourself those questions. It really comes down to the balance sheet of these companies and making sure that they can survive this economic event, this really healthcare crisis that we're in today. You've got to make sure those companies can survive, the shocks that they're seeing to those balance sheets. And that's where we really study these balance sheets, just like Warren Buffett does when he invests in companies, to make sure that they're cash cows and they don't have a whole lot of debt and their ability to continue to generate very consistent earnings and dividend growth going forward.
Okay. And so, but let's say if you and I owned a REIT and we leased it out to a Topgolf, and Topgolf is going through some hard times, do we still collect our money every month, or, you know?
Well, again, I haven't studied Topgolf, for example, is private, so I don't know what their balance sheet is look like. They probably have some fairly sizable debt because they're more private equity and they're new really a startup. Although they've been around a while, but I'm sure they have leverage debt. And so you've got to look at, you know, the underlying balance sheet and income statement. And that's really what we do as analysts. We study each of those companies to see and really stress test them to see how they can survive, you know, markets like we're in today. And again, I don't think anybody could have anticipated, the events that have unfolded over the last really 2 weeks. I mean, Carnival Cruise Lines, American Airlines, Boeing. I mean, these are major blue chip companies that are seeing some devastation in their business model. So there's opportunity in chaos. There always is. And that's one of the reasons that your mentor and mine, Warren Buffett, is worth the billions and billions he is because he knows where to take advantage of these opportunities in the chaos.
Okay. So we got a question coming from Kevin. Do you expect many foreclosures to come in the near future?
You know, what's really interesting, I mean, I lived through 2008-09. I was in business and very close to the home building industry. And my family's been in real estate for a long time. And my mother has been in residential housing. She sold houses, still does. Shout out to her, mom. But I think this is going to be different. What I'm concerned about more than foreclosures is the wave of credit card defaults. So as I look at this scenario going forward, there's a lot of people who have built up their credit over the last 10 years. They didn't have jobs in 2008-09, and they were rewarded by getting their credit scores up and getting more credit cards. And, you know, like all of us, we get, deals in the mail every day. Here's a new credit card. Here's a check in the mail. And, it's gotten to the point where I'm concerned about, this credit card crisis where people could be, living off of that money. And, if this social distancing goes on in the country, it's going to really hurt the consumer, and families, small businesses could be impacted. And I'm concerned that potentially that could impact, people taking down their credit, drawing down on their credit cards to live. And I'm also concerned with the housing industry. There's been a growing number of subprime car loans going over the last 10 years. And when you combine, expensive, car payments and credit cards, that could really put an impact on the market. I think the banks have been a lot more cautious as it relates to the recession, last recession. So I'm not as concerned about foreclosures as I am personal bankruptcies and people that have so much credit card debt and subprime card debt that could create a wave of foreclosures.
Okay.
And bankruptcies. I'm sorry.
I didn't even think about it. I know we always kind of spoke about student loan crisis, but the credit card crisis could be a real thing. Okay. So we got Mr. Picasso. Are self-directed IRAs a good route for real estate investing?
Yes, absolutely. And, kept a couple really good tax advantaged vehicles, IRA being one of those. I'm not an accountant or CPA, so I can't really give tax advice, but I definitely would consider using the IRA structure for REITs. That's a great way. And most of many investors use IRAs for their investing purposes. But that's a great question, and REITs are purposely designed for that.
Okay. So with that IRA, you're saying, hey, it's a good way to maybe get involved with REITs.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. And we've actually done some research on that topic. Again, we primarily, Prince, I write through two different channels, one being Forbes.com, and then also on Seeking Alpha is really my primary kind of wheelhouse where I write articles every day. I've done quite a bit of articles on retirement planning and IRAs, and you can find a lot of that information there. And I would ask you to go to my website, bradtom.com, where you can sign up for our free email blast and be glad to. There's a lot of information we provide weekly or daily email blasts that help individual investors.
Okay. Now, you spoke about, before we came on, you spoke about different sectors and different ways to put money in the real estate market itself. So before I jump into other questions, I wanted to give you that opportune time to, you know, and then Mikasa says, thank you very much, and give you the opportune time to kind of speak about these other opportune ways in the, you know, opportunities, like you said, like Mr. Buffett, he's known for taking advantage, you know, being greedy when others are fearful. So a lot of people are seeing this as an opportune time. What are some opportunities that you can see spread it out, a way to deploy capital in the real estate industry?
Sure. One of the picks I really like right now, and we touched on this a little bit, but there's a company called Broadmark Realty, and their ticker symbol is BRMK. What this company does, they're a REIT. They're technically a mortgage REIT. And what they are, they lend money to home builders to build houses. So, and they charge their home builders around 12 to 13% interest during the course of that loan, which is generally 6 to 12 months. And then they also get pay an origination fee for that as well. What that means right now, the shares have been beat down so hard, and I haven't checked, you know, in the last day or two, so, you know, not in real time, but the shares basically are yielding about 13% last time I checked, and they pay a monthly dividend. So if you put $10,000 in, I'm just using this example, I think you should diversify always, but use this example of $10,000 in Broadmark, you're going to get a 13%, $1,300 a year based on that income, that dividend income monthly. So you would get a check of about $100 a month or more than that. That's a pretty interesting deal. And we think that dividend's pretty safe. You know, the housing market is an interesting market. And again, I don't think, you know, when we talk about the landscape of this country, you know, coronavirus is certainly going to have a short-term impact, but it's going to be temporary. And there's houses still being built, even though we're practicing this world of social distancing and people aren't going to restaurants. I'm still seeing right out my window home builders building houses, and that's going to continue. So I really feel good about that company. I think that's a good name to consider. It's a high yield. They pay that dividend monthly, so a lot of investors get that paycheck every month. And it's really important. A lot of people rely on mailbox money, I call it, and they want to have that check coming in every month. So that's a company that I'm pretty bullish in. We're also an investor in that company. And full disclosure, I'm also an investor in Store Capital, I mentioned earlier. Another company I like, and this is really an attractive company, is called Ladder Capital. And they're also a commercial mortgage REIT. But they loan money to large commercial real estate projects around the country. Now, that company is getting beaten down crazy. I haven't checked it today, but we were talking about yesterday. I checked it. It was like a 20% yield. It's ridiculous. And, you know, we've talked to the management. We've studied that company, the balance sheet, their business model. There are risks to that stock, just like there are to many stocks. But Ladder is definitely a really attractive buy for us today. So I think those two companies, Prince, to me, have pretty meaningful opportunities. We just created a portfolio called the Cash is King. So, you know, Prince, we got Prince and we got King, but we got the Cash is King portfolio, and we've got those two companies in our new portfolio.
Nice, nice. Okay. Well, I know you got to get going. I know you're a very busy man, and I definitely want to say thank you for coming on to the show today and answering the people that are here live and the people that would catch the playback. Hopefully you got something out of that as well. You definitely got some great information. I even took down some symbols myself. A whole nother industry. You know, I did like the fact that you said, hey, if you had $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and you went and borrowed money and bought a rental property. By the time you pay the mortgage and everything, you know, and take care of the three T's, the toilet taxes, and I forgot what other T's.
Trash,
the toilet taxes and trash. Once you take care of all of that, you know, you got to be physically invested into it. And, you know, it's active money. You have to go out, make sure you got a tenant, all of the good stuff like that. And you only send a little small margin after you take care of all of that. Where you're saying you could deploy that capital into join a particular REIT and pretty much get that same return on investment without the headache. So I do like that. Thank you for exposing us to different companies. And this is the floor for you to end out the show and tell people where to follow you, how to get in contact with you, all the other great stuff.
Great. I did want to leave out. I am a shareholder in Ladder as well. Just full disclosure. Always like to clean that up. But thank you again for allowing me to be on the show. And I think my mentor is yours, Warren Buffett. He's a smart investor. I will say I purposely named my book The Intelligent REIT Investor because Warren Buffett's teacher and mentor is a guy named Benjamin Graham, who Mr. Buffett knows. And he wrote the book called The Intelligent Investor, which I think every investor should read, The Intelligent Investor. I have an original copy, believe it or not, that I found from a library today. But I have a book called The Intelligent REIT Investor. And take a look at that. It's on Amazon. Check out my website, bradtom.com. And there's a lot of wealth that can be made in real estate, especially now in this chaotic market.
Okay. We got LH19 that says, thank you for the great information. Picasso says, thank you. Mortgage real estate person, mortgage real estate, modern real estate. I'm sorry, I'm going to say mortgage. Modern real estate says, thank you as well. So, yeah, definitely. We thank you for coming on. Y'all check out Mr. Brad Thomas. You know, he's right there on Seeking Alpha. He's number one. He's always trending up there with his real estate and things like that. Forbes contributor as well, Forbes.com. Check out his books, the great things he had to say. Hopefully you guys and girls enjoyed them, like it seemed like you did, at least for the live audience. Drop some comments. And in the description box, I'll also already have his links to his books, things like that, to make it easy for you. So, Mr. Thomas, thank you. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else you see me do crazy around the globe, thank you. Be safe. Wash your hands and invest.